good to see this number out on a Sunday evening to study the Word of God. It's good to have some visiting with us. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, I want to read two verses for the thought of our study tonight. The Roman letter and the 8th chapter, and if you will kindly, note with me, begin at verse 33. Romans 8, beginning at verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. On Sunday evenings, we begin a series some time back, and we've been looking through the name Christ and making acrostic. We looked at the letter C, and we identified the letter C as the coming of Christ. And we looked at the importance of the virgin birth of Christ and the fact that He came and lived a sinless life and left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Then we examined the letter H in the name of Christ, and we said that that would represent the hanging of Jesus upon Calvary's cross. And we looked at the crucifixion and what all that entailed for us tonight. Then we looked at the letter R, and we said the letter R represents the rising of Christ. The fact that though He died upon the cross of Calvary, He did not stay in the grave, but by the power of God, He was resurrected. He was raised from the dead. So tonight, that brings us to the 4th letter in our study, and that is the letter I, which represents His interceding for man. We've looked at the coming, we've looked at the hanging, we've looked at the rising, but now let us examine the intercession of Christ. And if you take your Bible in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, we recognize that Christ sits at the right hand of God. And we recognize from verse 34 that He makes intercession for us. It's interesting that earlier in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, it says in verse 26, the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. So not only does the Holy Spirit intercede for man, but the Son Himself makes intercession, as does Paul say in verse 34. So that brings up a serious question. What is intercession? When we talk about one interceding or one making intercession, just exactly what is involved with that? Well, intercession is the act of petitioning on one's behalf. And in this case, it's the act of petitioning God or praying on behalf of another person or group. You can look back in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis in the 18th chapter, and you'll find that Abraham made intercession for Sodom. You remember that man went and prayed on behalf of the city that if there were 50 righteous, 40 righteous, all the way down to 10, would God spare the city? Abraham was making intercession for that group of people, for that particular city. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Exodus and the 15th chapter, you'll find in verse 25 where Moses interceded for the people of Israel. And you'll recall that he prayed on their behalf. He made a petition on their behalf. And thus, he was one who made intercession. But I want us to understand and realize tonight that Christ is the great intercessor. He is the go-between, between man and God. He is a mediator, but also an intercessor. Now, a mediator does it for both sides. He'll do it for both parties. But an intercessor does it from one party to the other. Christ is both a mediator and an intercessor. So when I understand that, I recognize He is the great intercessor for man. If you take your Bible this evening in the book of Luke and the 23rd chapter, you remember that in verse 32 that He prayed for Peter. You remember that He told Peter that Satan had asked permission to sift him as wheat. But He said, I have prayed for you, that when you come back, when you are converted, when you repent, when you return, what? You'll strengthen your brethren. But then if you remember in your Bible, in the book of John, in the 17th chapter, Jesus also prayed for His disciples. And he made that great prayer before he was put upon the cross of Calvary. And he prayed that God would be with them and that God would sanctify them and that the Father would be with them at that particular time. So then when I think of Jesus on the cross, I get a third picture. I get a picture of him interceding in Luke 23:34 when he prayed on behalf of those who crucified him, saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." So an intercessor is a one who goes on behalf of another. And Jesus is the great intercessor. So this evening I recognize I need forgiveness of sins. I recognize that the cross is the answer to that. Ephesians 1:7. We've been redeemed by His blood. But then I recognize I need power to continue on. I have that through prayer. When I fall short, when I succumb to temptation, I can go to my Heavenly Father in repentance, and the Holy Spirit and Christ makes intercession. You know why He can do that? He is our High Priest. Under the Old Testament, you can remember back in Exodus 29 and Exodus 30, that the priest under the Old Covenant made sacrifices and prayers continuously. They continued to do that, and all they did was to continue to make prayers, make sacrifices, and they continued that year in and year out. But that work pointed to Christ. Christ is the permanent High Priest. If you take your Bible, look in the Hebrew letter and the 7th chapter for just a moment. In the Hebrew letter and the 7th chapter, notice what the Scripture says in verse 5. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, "Therefore He," speaking of Christ, "is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always," underscore that word, "lives to make" what? "Intercession for them." He is the great interceder. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests, which he's talking about under the old law, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. So I have a high priest in Christ that I can go to. He is the one who makes intercession for me. Then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the Hebrew letter and the 4th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 4th chapter, examine the divine revelation beginning in verse 14. He said, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Do you recognize tonight that Jesus can plead our case? That Jesus understands what it's like to be tempted? He understands what it's like to have the flesh be brought before that which is iniquity and wrong, and to be able to resist the temptation. So when I read my Bible in the Hebrew letter in the 4th chapter, I see that Jesus is one who can sympathize. You know, that's important. You know, when you think about in heaven, there are angels there, but they don't understand our struggle. They've not been tempted as we've been tempted. And I need someone beside an angel to make intercession for me. So when I pray, not only does the Holy Spirit intercede on my behalf, but Jesus Christ intercedes for me. Have you ever stopped to think about how powerful that is? Have you ever stopped to think about that Jesus can understand what I'm going through? And because of that, look at verse 16 in Hebrews 4. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, I think that's powerful. Had Jesus not been raised from the dead, had Jesus not been seated at the right hand of God, had He not become our high priest, we would not be able to make prayers to God and have intercession. We would still need a high priest on earth if Jesus was not our high priest. But tonight, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, you and I are priests. You ever thought about how wonderful that is? That when I make my blunder, I don't have to drive over here to the building, open up the box, and start just talking to some fella and say, forgive me, I've sinned. You know what I can do? I can bow my head and go to my Heavenly Father. Wouldn't that be something tonight? If you had to come over here every time you sinned and met one of the elders or met me and said, now I did this and I did that, and I had to absolve you. I'll tell you, my friend, I don't have that power. Only the high priest can absolve us. And we do that through prayer to God through our Savior. But that brings up something else. I want you to think about when He died on the cross, He interceded for us on the cross. He was the one who died on our behalf. That was an act of intercession. But as we talked about the last time we looked at this series, we said He arose from the grave and still makes intercession for us. Now then, if you take your New Testament, look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we also observe that He is our mediator. The intercession is one directed in one way, but notice, He is both God and man, so He understands God's side of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, He said, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Do you recognize that when we go through Jesus Christ, He understands how the Father feels, who is righteous and holy and just, and yet He understands man's side because He put on robes of flesh and lived as a man. Therefore, not only is He an intercessor, He is the mediator. So when we go to the Father's throne in prayer, we go through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. You want to know why we say that at the end of the prayer? We are praying by His authority. When I conclude a prayer, I'll say in the name of Jesus Christ. That's by His authority. It goes through the high priest who makes intercession for us to the Father. He alone, being fully God, can represent God to man, and at the same time, being fully man, can represent man to God. He alone can bring reconciliation of man to God. So you know when you pray, all three persons in the Godhood are active. God the Father hears the prayer, the Holy Spirit makes intercession, and Christ is the mediator who also makes intercession. Oh, that's powerful. Sometimes I think in our life we don't see the power of prayer. First, we don't see the power of the one to whom we pray. And secondly, we don't see that all the members of the Godhead are involved when we go before the throne of God. Can you think of anything more powerful? I think sometimes we forget how powerful prayer truly is. Sometimes someone will say, can there anything I can do for you? And we'll say, just pray. But I want to tell you, that's the most important thing we can do. I'll never forget one time in a business meeting, one of the first places I preached over here in Marshall County. We sat down and there was a discussion about something and a fellow said, we need to do this. And one fellow said, we need to pray about it. And one fellow said, has it come to that? Like that's the last resort. And I've seen a lot of people make prayer the last resort. I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible said pray without ceasing. We need to be in a prayerful attitude morning, noon, and night. Have you ever gone through the day and realized you hadn't prayed at all? How many times do we take blessings for granted? And how often have we stopped to realize just how powerful prayer is? And do we appreciate it? That Christ still works on our behalf. He still speaks on our behalf to the Father. He didn't have to do that. But because He's the high priest of His people, He will look at our desires. He will hear our prayers and He'll make intercession. That doesn't mean He'll give everything we pray for. But I'll tell you what He will do. He'll intercede for us. And when we think of all Christ has done, and we see that He is still working on our behalf, we should do all we can to please Him. I looked at His coming. Oh, how powerful. That He would leave heaven and come to the dregs of earth and live as a man. I look at His hanging. And when I see the cross of Calvary and I see Him dying there and I see the sins of man putting Him there, oh, that touches me. Then I look at His resurrection and His rising from the dead, and that puts a certain amount of fear in my heart, realizing the power He has. But don't overlook His intercession. I'll tell you something. If He didn't intercede for us, we'd be pitiful people. Do you see the interceding Christ? Tonight, if you're not a child of God, I want you to recognize the importance of being God's child, because then Christ is your intercessor. He's not only your King. He's not only your Savior. No, He's not only your mediator. He's your intercessor. That's why it's important to be in Christ. Every spiritual blessing we have is in Christ. You name the spiritual blessing, I'll show you where it is. In Him. And that includes prayer. And if you need to be obedient to the gospel, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing.